What I want to talk about tonight is a prophecy or a word that this church got, about 3 or 4 years ago, and how through each year that this man mentioned, 2015, 2016, and 2017, we have seen and are seeing what he said for this church. Because Cricket is talking about in our Sunday morning services, Wednesday night services, just the feeling of revival, the revival in this town, in this community, and we believe even further and beyond that. So I'm not going to, I don't know if she's here, but I'm not going to embarrass anyone. But I was at a place a few months ago where I was just very happy, very content. Things were good. The baby was here. Everything was great. And I got this card from a lady during the Sunday morning service. It was right after the service. And she had walked up to me and she had said, I've been wanting to give you this for a while. And she said, but I have really been wrestling with, struggling with, should I give this to you, should I not, should I give this to you, should I not. And so she said, it's something that the Lord felt like he wanted me to share with you. So finally, after a couple of weeks, she said, I couldn't do it anymore. I've had it with me. I brought it. I'm giving it to you. So she gave it to me. And I'm not going to read it all. It's kind of a personal message. But the end of it says, the last line she wrote and what God shared with her was, stay on the battlefield. And that's what God had. And she did not know this, but that's what God had been kind of, I don't know if convicting is the right word, but kept coming to me with, is stay on the battlefield, a battle season. And so what I wanted to share with you today is the first part of what I feel is a three-part message that God gave me. And the first part of it is to stand. And, you know, we have, like I said, and I think we may have touched on this last Sunday night, a speaker come, Leonard Ford, a while back, and he gave kind of a word over the church, but for the future. Does anyone remember that word he gave? It was about 7 years, seven Goshen years. He talked about that. And anyway, he came to the church and he spoke about that. And sure enough, as we saw this happen in the last 3 years, we saw in 2015, our family and so many church people, so many pastors, just across the country, we would turn on the TV and see it afterwards, had been through this awful, horrible battle that year. I mean, just unbelievable stories of their families, ministries that had fallen apart. It was unbelievable that year what had happened. And then the next year, in 2016, he said would be a year of rest. Because after any battle, there has to be a time of rest. And sure enough, that's what it was. Cricket and I and others throughout different ministries took a time of rest after that battle. Because after you go through any battle, any trauma, any real, whether it be physical, emotional, or mental, you have to have a time of rest to heal properly in the right way to get fully healed. And then in 2017, which is this year, he said would be the year to rise, the year to rise up. And so that's what I want to talk about today. And one thing that Cricket and I have been talking about and really feeling like the Lord was leading us towards and leading us in is what this year would be. And as I was saying, when you go through a battle, and I look around at people I know in the church, so many people have gone through battles in their life. Personal struggles, struggles at work, struggle with family, struggle in different areas. And so many people have been through these hard battles. And we've seen them go through it. We've walked with them through it. There are times they want to share this. There are times that they don't. But we've seen, no matter the situation, people walk through these battles. And then you go through the season of healing and just a time to heal from those battles. And that can look like a lot of different things. Healing is different in different ways for different people. And so that's what I want to talk about is why the first part, the battle, why people don't make it through the battle. And there are obvious reasons that people, we think of that people don't make it through a battle. The battle is just so great. And Their faith is not there. They don't believe they can make it through. And sadly, you know, at times they don't. People get stuck at the battle stage where the enemy takes them out. Either he pulls them out of the church. He pulls them away from family. He pulls them away from the people in their lives that make them strong. He pulls them away from his word. And the enemy just takes them out. But there are those, and every person in this room I know that I can see looking around has made it through at least one battle, if not so many more. So every person in this room has made it through that, has made it through the battle. And then there is the second part, which is the healing. And the healing is different because the healing, it's kind of tricky. A lot of people make it to this point and the healing is where it stops. What happens at the healing is, and this is where this card that this lady had come up and given to me really spoke to me. Because for me, I was in that healing stage still. And what happens in the healing stage is we go through the battle and we cry out to God, and God brings us through that battle, and we are so thankful. Every day we wake up just thanking God, thank you, God, thank you, God. And we get so thankful, which we should always stay thankful and thank God every day for what He does in our life. But we can't ever move past that. We get comfortable. We almost get afraid to step out again because we know how bad the battle was. We don't want to go through anything like that again. And we're just so thankful, we're so healed. And we're so thankful to be healed. But if you don't come through the healing and you don't allow yourself time, and a lot of times it's time to heal properly, then you can injure yourself permanently. Some people don't get fully healed. They don't get fully healed. And what I mean by that is they were so traumatized in whatever it was, whether it be physical, emotional, mental, whatever it was that they went through, that they've become hardened and they can't get through it. God has brought them through it, but they don't fully receive their healing. Another part of it is, and this is the part I found myself in, was you get healed from your battle and you come in back into your life and so thankful for what God has done. And God begins to speak to you about the next phase of your life, about what He brought you through this battle for and what you're supposed to do with this battle. And when we get in that place, we live our lives and we take care of our kids. We go to work, we go to school, and we are so thankful. We wake up every day just thanking God, and we hear this voice and this nudge from God about where to go, what to do, what to do. And we almost turn off that voice and think, I can't do that, or how will I do that? And we're just so thankful for what He's done. We almost push ourselves back and say, how can we do any more? We thank God, we praise God, but how is this possible? And so we stop at our healing. But God really wants us to be in that third phase. And that is what we believe we're in this year. And that is the phase to rise up. The phase to rise above just the battle, just the healing, but to show people what God has done and to just be that light that God's created us to be. And that, we believe, is what we're in now, because the rising up is really ultimately what God wants for all of us. Because people can see us go through the battle. People can see us healed and are thankful with us and rejoice with us. But it's not until the rising up that comes after that, that people can really see the full glory of God. And so until you get to the place where you're standing against the enemy, you're rising up, you're doing those things, those pray dreaming, Cricket calls it sometimes, those things that God gives you in your prayer time, until you can start going towards those things and really pushing through, pushing past the enemy, God's full glory is not revealed. See, it's not about us really. It's about showing the full picture of what God's done. And we see this a lot of times. I think a lot of people probably in here have grown up in church, around a church. Some people haven't, but there are so many stories and so many people in the Bible that a lot of just your average Christians don't even know who they are. You know, you look at these names and you hear some of these names. Now, I'm going to say that people don't know these names, and half the people in here will. But the average person does not know these names, the average Christian person in church. So I'm going to go with it. But if you know both of them, then you're here all the time. So, okay. So we have two of the names that are in the Bible that actually did pretty important things or had a big role in the Bible. Most people don't know. One is, I don't know if I'm saying this right, Ehud. And he was, and I'm going to read a little bit about him. And it was when Israel was under oppressive rule of the king of Moab, he cried out to the Lord for deliverance. The Moabites were idol worshippers and were evil in the sight of the Lord. So God sent him, Ehud, with his cubit long sword to assassinate the king and liberate God's people from his rule. And so that was a pivotal role. He had an amazing call on his life, an amazing destiny. He did an amazing thing. He liberated God's people. And he was in the Bible, but your average churchgoer does not know that name. The second one was Korah. And unlike a lot of the other people in the Bible, his story was not so good. But to make a long story short, Korah rises up a mob of Israelites against Moses to kind of threaten or overthrow his leadership and say, why is this who God called? Why is it just him? So he kind of tried to lead a revolt in the Bible. But one of the things that came out of that, and one of the things we can see through him, was I think it was Numbers 16:32 when he opposed God's anointed. But out of that, God still got the glory. Even though Korah became this person who went against God's chosen, later his descendants would write some of the Psalms in the Bible. So it's a great testimony of how no matter where you come from, no matter what your family is, how God can use you. And that kind of leads into next Sunday night's second half about we're all born into our families. You know, Cricket had talked about that a few weeks ago and how we're born into our families and God chose our families and these are who our family's supposed to be. And I sat there and I really thought about that. I thought about myself and I thought about a lot of other people I knew. And I thought, you know, for some people, that's kind of hard to hear. We're born into this family. Some people are born into horrible, awful situations. And a lot of times, they don't understand that. So from the get-go, they kind of reject God because they don't understand why. And the word God gave me for that, as I was sitting there and really thinking about that, we don't choose our families. That's one thing in life. When we're born, we do not choose. But God showed me that we are born in this world as for one of two purposes. We are either destiny sustainers or destiny changers. And that's what I want to talk about next week. And a little bit of this leads into that. But really what it's about is there are those who their father, mother before them knew God. They were raised in a godly home. So a lot like running a race, they pass the baton and they just make that destiny stronger and stronger with each generation. But then you have those who maybe some of them came up going to church on and off, but some of them didn't at all. And so God put them in that family to change the destiny for that family for the next generation. And next week, I'm going to talk about why both of those things are important, why both of those things are exciting and what God does with both of those things. And how you have to have both in the church. You have to have your destiny sustainers that are there to carry the baton and get stronger and stronger and stronger. And how you have your destiny changers. And how God puts those people, we've seen them in ministries and different things, both on both sides of destiny changers and destiny sustainers. You have ministers who have come out of like Joel Osteen, his father. He was a destiny sustainer. It went from an amazing ministry, an amazing man, from one to the next, and God blessed it. We see it from Moses to Joshua passing the baton. But then you also have those amazing ministries now, like her name, yet Joyce Myers. She came out of a very hard situation, and her ministry is no less powerful than his. It's just different because God, they were born into different situations, but how God can get the glory. And so as I was reading a scripture that God gave me, and I'm just so excited, like I said, about this season that we're in, the season that we're in as a church, because God promises us that light is going to shine brighter than dark. And so Isaiah 60:1-4, and do this on my phone here. It says, Isaiah 60 says, rise up and shine, for your light has come. The shining greatness of the Lord has risen upon you. See that darkness will cover the earth and much darkness will cover the people. But the Lord will rise upon you and his shining greatness will be seen upon you. Nations will come to your light and all kings will see the shining greatness of the Lord on you. And that's the season. That's the opportunity. And that's the chance that we have right now as a church and a people is to be that light for God. He's saying this is the time. God has given us a time. God has given us a season. And like every season in life, seasons change. Every season is changed. And there's a time and a purpose for everything under heaven. And I'm just excited. And I just want to just really emphasize that we're in that season. We are in that season to be that light. You know, there was a She is not here tonight, but there was a lady, there's someone in our church who sent me a text last Sunday, and it said, there's a lady that really, I think she just needs to talk to you. It's about her daughter. Her daughter's going through a situation, and I won't go into too much detail, but it was it's a younger girl, and a lot of things had happened in her life, and she was really battling suicide, depression, things like that. So she said, how can I get her? And I said, well, give her my cell phone number. And I tell you, this week, the enemy just fought and fought and fought. Couldn't get a hold of this lady, couldn't get a hold of the other person, couldn't this and that. And everything was crazy. Everything was going wrong. So Saturday, I had run up here real quick. Cricket had the girls, and I'd run up here. And there was a note on Amanda's desk. And it was a tiny little note. I don't even know how I saw it. The only reason I noticed it, even at all, was it said Jennifer. And so I thought, okay, well, this is okay. It says my name. I think I can look at this. But it was this tiny little note, pink note, said Jennifer on it, like a sticky note folded. So I opened it up, and it was the lady's number, her name, everything that was going on in the situation. So I finally called her. We had a short talk, but we said we were going to plan to meet later in this week. And the reason I tell you that is because there are people out there so many times that are trying to reach out. They're fighting to reach out. And just like it was this week, everything fought this lady from trying to get in and get help for her daughter, trying to find someone. And I don't know how God will unfold the situation. I pray that I know that there are people in this church, that there are ministries, other ministries out there, different things that can help. Whatever she needs, God has it. But she reached out. And that's the thing is, we need to be a church that when people reach out, they feel so comfortable here. And, you know, I know, and I love this church, and there are so many people here for me who feel like family. And sometimes I think, do they feel like family because I've known them for so long and I feel comfortable with them? But I don't believe that's it. I think that there is something in this church that gives the sense of closeness and family that people are wanting to reach out for, and they're just now starting to find it. They're just now starting to see it. And I believe that God can use this church as a place that people can come and see the family and see the love and see the hope and see what people have been through. Because so many times there are all different reasons people are afraid to go into a church or won't go into a church for this reason or that reason. But it was like I was saying earlier, God gives you, you're either a destiny changer or a sustainer, and a church has to have both. Those who have grown up in the Word, are strong in the Word, know the Word, and have that generational strength. Not to say that there haven't been hardships, and I'll talk about that also next week, what's hard about being a destiny sustainer, but you have to have that, and you have to have that, those that are going to change, those that want to stand up and say, I'm going to break whatever this is, and I'm going to change it. Because a lot of times people come to church because they need hope, they need change, they need help, and they come here with a need. But hopefully when they get here, they find so much more than that. And so that's what tonight's service is going to be a little bit shorter than next week's. But that's what I really just wanted to share with you guys, that God was laying on our hearts as we go forward, and that we are just so excited about. You know, we can make that choice to be those that we see in the Bible who've done great things, who've done important things, but you don't hear much about them. Or we can move into that rise up stage and be, you know, the Joshuas, Joseph, David, because each one of those, and I had written in here, what is the difference in the Joshua, Josephs, and Davids than, you know, the Korahs and the Yuhats? What is the difference? What makes the difference in those people that you can go out there and ask a five-year-old, who's David? They know the story, David and Goliath. Who is Joshua? You know, they know the stories of Joshua. They know Joseph and the coat of many colors. Why do they know these people? Why do they know them versus others? What in history made that stand out? And really, it comes down to one thing. They didn't stop at the battle, and they didn't stop in their healing and making it through the battle. They rose up to be something greater than they could ever be. They received from God. They received what God has, because it wasn't them, it was God. A lot of us don't receive what God has for so many different reasons. We're afraid to receive it. We don't think it's possible. We don't know what direction to go next. But God, through His Word and through prayer, will give you all of those things. And so I had just wrote down here, you know, the key to it all is really what drives us in our lives. What is the driving force? Because if in Joseph's life, if you look at Joseph, you know, he had a word from God. It was not passed down like it was in Joshua, from Moses to Joshua, and a generational blessing. And it was not that. For Joseph, it was, he had a dream from God that he shared with his brothers and his family, who he thought he could share it with, and they were going to kill him. But instead of killing him, we know the story that they sold him, and God worked his miracles through that, because God can work through any situation. So you have the Josephs who have made it through all of these things. You have the Joshuas who have had generational blessing but still fought tremendous hardship. And you also have the Davids who, through their own struggles and through different weaknesses and things in their life, they get restored, and they're a perfect example of God's restoration and how God can use them. So all three of those are very, very different stories in a lot of ways, but all of them were used by God, and all of them are names that are always remembered throughout the Bible. And like I said, from children all the way up, from those who are in church every day to those who are just coming into church. The difference is they pushed, it didn't matter what it took, they pushed through every obstacle to do the destiny and the purpose that God had for their life, because that's all that would really make them happy. That's all that would really fulfill what was inside of them that they needed. You know, we all are looking for something, I believe. We're all looking for our destiny and our purpose. And so many times we say, God, I think we've all been at the place that we say, God, I don't know what it is that you're calling me to do. Whether we are a small child when we say it, if we're a teenager, if we're in youth, if we're young adult, if we're married, we all have been at a place that we say, God, we know that there's more. We know that there's a purpose and we know that there's a destiny, but we don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. We seek it, we seek it, we seek it, and we're looking. And it was like Cricket was saying this morning. A lot of times that destiny happens when we're walking through our life, doing what it is God calls us to do. And then He shows us that destiny as we're in the midst of it. So I just encourage you, and as I've prayed this week and I've prayed through this week, and so many of you, I'm sure, have through whatever battle you're going through, just, God, I know that there is a destiny and a purpose for this. There's a plan that you have, and I'm just going to walk and I'm just going to do what I know you've told me to do now. What the last thing I heard from you to do was, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to keep walking and I'm going to keep going. And then I know that you're going to reveal what it is and what your plan is to do with this. Because sometimes, how many times have we gotten through something and it has been a great victory and we are so thankful, only to hit the next battle. And it seems like they're back to back to back to back. And some are really huge battles and some are small battles. But sometimes it doesn't seem like they'll ever stop coming. And a lot of times that's because you're on the right destiny. You're on the right path that God has you, and the enemy doesn't like it. It's like I said, when we left here last Sunday night, you know, I looked at Frigate and I said, did you plan to go up there? You know, did you plan to die? He's like, I didn't, you know. And so it was totally unplanned, but something that God was doing. And then instantly, Monday morning, just the attacks came here with this church, with building, with our kids, just unbelievable, unnatural things started happening as a reaction to what I believe happened Sunday night. And I don't know about you, but through other battles I've been through, that does not scare me. I'm not scared of what the enemy is trying to do, because God has already brought us through. I know personally, I can only speak from personal, but God has brought us through so much. It's not going to stop me from pushing forward and pushing forward and pushing forward. And a lot of you, I've seen so many of you do that, that in your life, God's attacked you with something. Maybe it's almost beat you. It's almost broke you. You've been through it over and over again, but you keep getting back up. And I just want to encourage you to keep doing that, because God has done that in your life for a reason. There are going to be people that come into this church, and I don't think it will be too very long that they do, that is going to be the very thing they need. Whether it be their children, whether it be their health, their marriage, their life, they're going to come into this church and all these battles you've been going through and all of these things that you've come through, they're going to need that. They're going to need what God has given you to be able to sustain them. And so that is just an exciting thing. And that's something we're excited about. But like I said, we're going to be getting out a little bit early. But one thing I wanted to do here at the end is I know that God has, in the last couple of years, really spoken to me just through His Word and through music and through different things. And so this time at the end of all of our services, we always have, and Leah and Jerry have been doing it at the beginning some too, but we have this time to just be in the presence of God and to be with God and just to cry out to God and have our own personal time to just talk to Him. And that is so, so important, because it's like Cricket was talking about this morning. Where we come together, God's presence is, and God is here, and God is wanting to do things. And I believe God is wanting to do things in each and every one of us in here. So God gives us a word. We share the word, but God wants to do it in you. He's here for you. He's here for each and every person. And I believe that God wants to share with you in this season of life why He brought you through what He has brought you through, why you've healed from it or you're still healing from it, and how He wants you to just rise up and go with what He has for you and be encouraged in that. So Joe is going to start a song here, and I have a video with words up here. But as we close tonight, one thing I just want to say is, you know, God wants us to stand up. Why do we have so many Christians who are afraid to stand up? I see it all the time. We all see it all the time. All of these different groups want to stand up for their rights, and they're this and they're that, and why they're right. And so many times they attack Christians for the way they believe and say, you know, it's hate, it's this, it's that. But as Christians, oftentimes we kind of take the timid stand back role. Not all of us, not every Christian, but so many times people are afraid. And really what it comes down to, for I believe every Christian, every person, God has created us to love, because God is love, and God has created us to give people hope. And that's what our purpose is to give people hope. And I know so many of you, in seeing what you have gone through or just getting words of encouragement from you, have given me hope at times, and have given Cricket hope at times, and each other. And I think that's what ultimately our purpose and destiny is here, is to give people hope and to see that every person in this church, whether you have been a Christian and saved your whole life or for a year, that there is hope, that no matter your situation, there's a place here and a purpose for your life. And we want to grow that together for the destiny that God has for our future. So as we come into this next season, I want us to just all pray together, because I believe that this is going to be a different kind of battle, where this is going to be a battle that God has anointed us to win. So many times in the Bible, we see God say, go take that land. I promise it to you. It's yours. It's your inheritance. But you have to fight the battle to get there. You'll win the battle, but you have to fight the battle to get there. And so when we're on the battlefield, we see this. We see those before the battle that all stand up together in agreement. And they say in agreement, we're going to fight this together. We're going to win this together. And that's what, and we're going to go into this destiny, this future that God has for us together. And so that's what I want us to do right now. If you're in agreement right now that we are going into a season of revival and God has brought you through something and you're ready to go into the next phase, you're ready to rise up, stand up against the enemy and say, I'm not taking it anymore. I'm going to move into the next season. The enemy is under my feet and I'm going forward. If you're in agreement with that, will you just stand now? Will you just stand and say, I'm in agreement with that. I'm not going to put up with what the enemy has anymore. We're ready for revival. We are ready to go forward. And then there's the second group in the battle. And you see them in the battle. They're the ones who have been fighting the battle for so long. They've been fighting it for year after year after year after year. And they're the ones that are really hungry for a win. They're the ones that say, it's God's time. I'm tired of the enemy doing this. I'm healed. I've won the battle through God's strength. And now it is time to see something. It's time to complete the story and complete what God has. And you see those people in the battle. And before the battle, they rise up And then they come forward. They step to the front of the lines because they're going to be the first one on that battlefield there to help the people who are hurting, to help the people who are going through, who have been beaten up by the enemy.